glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, June 26, 2025. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're going to talk with a man who has a passion and a vision to express appreciation for the people who are involved in policing us in our world today, police women and men. While he's very busy with his business, Marquardt Motors, also a father of 10 children, and I'm sure active in his church, God has put this burden on his heart, and he's going to share it today. On Mark and Friends, we want to welcome Dan Marquardt to Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here and to share with your listeners about We Love Police.
Start it at the beginning, and let's follow you through with your vision and how God placed that on your heart. How did it start?
Well, if I go back several years ago, around the Trayvon Martin era, it was so burdensome to me and many to see how police officers in America were demonized and painted in such a negative light, and how demoralizing it was to them and to their family members. And I said to my brother and business partner, we have to do something. So we hosted a thank you police event at our dealership, and it was very well attended, not because police officers and their families wanted to come to a dealership on a Sunday, but because of a national spokesperson and friend, and that was a significant draw, who came and gave a motivational speech, and it was a real blessing. And just to hear from the officers and spouses at that event how much it meant to them that we would do something like this and express gratitude. And I had several officers tell me that that event put enough wind in their sails to not hang up their hat and to keep fighting the good fight. And then countless letters and correspondences I had after that event, I just said, wow, this was fantastic. We'll have to do it again. Well, the busyness of life, as you alluded to, being a father of 10 kids and running a small business and other ministries and organizations I'm involved with, it just kind of went on the shelf. And then several years ago, literally the Lord laid on my heart this vision for We Love Police as a media platform that spotlighted the good, the untold good of police officers, and offered chaplain access to police officers. So I started working on this and developing this, and everyone I ran it by said, wow, this is a great idea. So when I realized the huge time commitment, once again, went on the shelf. And then if we fast forward to 2021, I really had a heavy burden that if the Lord called me to this, I didn't want to be like Jonah. I wanted to be faithful, and I wanted to see this through if this is what the Lord called me to start. So in 2021, I did exactly that and just prayed that the Lord would guide and open doors, provide the time and the resources, and he has. And in 2021, we became a 501c3 nonprofit.
He just kept at you saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. Now, with your nonprofit status, tell us, how has it grown since then, and what are some of the resources available to our listeners?
Well, they can find out about us at welovepolice.org. That's our media site. The main tagline we have is uplifting police and spotlighting their good. There's a lot to that. It's more than just the marketing tagline. It's really our vision for what we seek to accomplish. And uplifting police, not just from a public opinion perspective. We want to spotlight the untold good that happens in America every day. You know, the vast majority of things that police officers do, the lives they save and the people they help, it doesn't make headlines. It doesn't get a lot of coverage. It doesn't get a lot of story and awareness. So we're spotlighting those untold good stories. You know, as I said, happen hundreds of thousands of times a year, millions of times a year, actually, in the United States. We also want to provide uplifting our officers and their families spiritually. So we offer, through really the gold standard partner, I believe, in chaplaincy in America, we've developed a portal with them to provide 24/7 nationwide access for police officers and their family members on their own terms. And they can access chaplains through a mobile device, text via instant message, call, email, or even schedule a video chat with a chaplain 24 hours a day across the country.
That's incredible service. I know my husband worked for 23 years in the Chicago Police Department, and honestly, there just wasn't a lot of resources available to him. I was doing my best, you know, wrestling the four juvenile delinquents at my home, so I didn't have a lot of extra energy to pour into him. I mean, I prayed for him, but so this is so thrilling that you are organizing different groups to be available. Now, you also have an opportunity for us to enter in to this ministry as well. Tell us about it.
When we were brainstorming and laying out this vision for this organization and how to have the greatest impact, we knew we could only, individuals can only have so much of an impact. We looked at the biblical model and said, what should the church's responsibility and role be in this? Unfortunately, most churches, as we've come to see firsthand, have never stepped foot in their local police department. Many of them don't know their police administration or their police officers personally, and haven't entered into relationships. So we said we want to make this a grassroots movement across America where police officers and their families know that they are loved and appreciated and that their service and sacrifice really does matter. What better avenue than the local church? We launched a program we call Church Partners. It's We Love Police Church Partners, and we have a turnkey, very inexpensive program to equip churches to engage with their local church and to uplift their officers and their families throughout the year, and not make this a flavor of the month, but to make this an ongoing long-term relationship. And we ran a pilot for 2.5 years in Chicagoland, and just last month we started launching this nationwide. And really our hope and prayer is in 2025, the Lord opens doors for us to add 1,000 churches across America, uplifting at least 1,000 police departments and sheriff's offices. And really our 5-year goal is by 2030, that all 18,000 police departments and sheriff's offices across America are uplifted by at least one local church.
This is so needed. You know, suicide is so high amongst first responders, and also, you know, alcoholism and domestic violence. And there's just so many ways that they don't know how to process some of the most intense emotions that they've ever experienced. They're not really set up for success when they come out of these academies. They're just kind of, oh, here's a few things and then go for it. So don't you also see that, Dan, that need to really come alongside them in that way?
Absolutely, Donna. The need is tremendous. And frankly, it's unprecedented in American history where it is at today. You mentioned police suicide is a huge issue, divorce rates, and there's all sorts of issues. And the reality is, and most people don't understand, even in a nice suburban community, it doesn't matter where you're at. You don't have to be in the city of Chicago or New York or in L.A. Any police officer or sheriff's deputy, every day, they see the worst of humanity. And they see the worst of humanity so that we don't have to. And a lot of people don't realize that every traffic fatality, a police officer or sheriff's deputy is almost always the first on the scene before paramedics, before firefighters arrive. Every suicide, they're the first there. And they're there to also help the family cope with the tragedy that they witnessed. Every child neglect situation, every domestic dispute. I mean, the burdens and layers that come with being a police officer are so much broader than traffic enforcement or dealing in violent crime situations. There's a tremendous emotional toil that our officers and their families share. And that's another reality, is that the spouses, as you very well know, the spouses of police officers shoulder a heavy weight, and they see the toll that the job takes on their loved one. You know, to be able to provide a local church that is there to uplift them and encourage them and provide chaplain access whenever they need it and on their own terms. And the need is absolutely tremendous. And unfortunately, Police are retiring at an unprecedented rate, and recruitment is at an all-time low. And it is, for America's future, it is vital that we attract the most virtuous, most committed, most capable people that want to serve and protect our communities across America for future generations.
This is so needed, like right now, because there are different atheist organizations coming after these local municipalities saying, oh, you cannot take, you know, resources and put them in chaplaincy services. And then also, Dan, a lot of times the police officers, they don't feel safe going to their local, you know, state-sponsored chaplain because, you know, what if the information that they're sharing somehow gets back and gets put on their record? So it's so important to have an independent chaplaincy set up so that they can feel safe.
I couldn't agree more. And actually, our market research absolutely validates exactly what you just said. These are kind of mind-blowing statistics. So we surveyed police officers across America. And first off, this actually blew my mind. One-third of the police officers across America said they did not have a department chaplain at all. Several friends of mine that I've gotten to know over the years that are in police administration and serve on national committees say they think it's actually closer to 50% of police departments do not have a chaplain. But those statistics aren't widely reported to the Department of Justice. And so the reality is, even if we go with our number and say it's conservative at one-third, roughly that leaves only two-thirds of officers have access to a chaplain. Well, of those that do, what shocked us is about 70% of them that had access to a chaplain said they had low to no trust of their department chaplain for a whole list of reasons, and all of them were valid, yeah, just like you said. So we said we want to be able to provide a 24/7 chaplain access, not just for our officers, but for their family members whenever they need it on their own terms. So they can access it through our media portal, through a mobile device. They don't need any credentials. They can use an alias if they want, and they'll be put in real-time communication with a chaplain whenever they need it. And the beauty of our chaplain partner is that if they develop trust and a relationship and dialogue with a chaplain, they can direct communicate with that chaplain again. They don't have to go through the portal. They can text, they can call that chaplain directly as well. And if they want in-person meetings, we have our chaplain partner has access and is established in all 50 states and most major metro markets. To add further what you were just saying about the chaplain access, so of the very small percentage of officers that have access to a chaplain and trust their chaplain, we're talking it's probably about 20% of all of the officers across America, 97% of them said their spouse and family had never been ministered to or supported by their local department chaplain, which means, in my opinion, zero. Mm-hmm. So the spouses, as I mentioned, they need to be able to have prayer and encouragement and talk through all of these situations as well. So yes, the resource is absolutely vital and needed.
So you've established these larger ministries, you've got that phone number they can access, you've got the website. Now you're looking for partner churches that would be an on-site ministry for every police department. That's amazing. Now, let's say one of our listeners out there says, you know, that's great, but I don't see myself working into that right now because of a season of life. But there are things we can do, Dan. And you tell us this wonderful story about a woman who just approached a police officer and just said the most important things that police officer needed to hear.
Yes, absolutely. It was so touching. I spoke recently with a nationally known author who is a retired police officer and now does training, has a best-selling book, and he shared with me, we spoke for a couple hours, about what an in-person expression of gratitude means. he was patrolling. This was year 10, and he had a 32-year career as a police officer. There was a woman, while he's in a squad patrolling, a woman's waving on the sidewalk at him, and he slowed his squad down, put his window down. He was waiting for her to say some not very nice things or make some obscene gestures. Unfortunately, our officers in communities across America see that and experience that every day. That's not what happened. She said to him, "Officer, I just want you to know how much we appreciate what you and your colleagues do each and every day. We know you have a very hard job, and we pray for you and your colleagues often. Thank you for keeping our community safe and for what you and your colleagues do and sacrifice. It means the world to us." And he was so taken back by that, he told me that for the next 22 years of his career, every day he put his uniform on before he started his shift, he remembered what that woman said to him in person. That's amazing. And he also said in 32 years as an officer, he could count on one hand the times it happened. Yes, one of our things that we strongly encourage people to do is when you see a police officer, thank them. Pray for our police officers across America and for their families. They shoulder a very heavy burden. It's so, so important that they feel appreciated, and they do know that the vast majority of Americans do love and appreciate them. But the key is they need to be told that. So yeah, let's try to make that the norm and not the exception.
I mean, this would be a great opportunity for parents, for grandparents, when they encounter police, the sheriff, and other public servants out in the open, or should we say out in the wild, that they approach them and just say, thank you so much, and show the children that they are approachable, that they're there to serve, and that they're the safe people that they should run to in time of trouble, and just express that and make that a normal thing. I know it's always been the, you know, you don't want to approach them because, of course, they're working, but they are approachable. My husband was so approachable, and he was always ready and willing to talk with the public and just to be that presence. Things can change. I absolutely believe so, Dan.
Well, I agree 100%, and it needs to change, because I say this to people all the time. I don't care what someone's political affiliation is. Any reasoned American should want the most dedicated, virtuous, and capable people serving and protecting our communities across our nation. I think that should be a universally agreed upon reality. How are we going to not just retain our quality officers across America so they don't take early retirement, and how are we going to attract the next generation of virtuous candidates to keep our freedoms going? Most people are not aware. This is something that is so unique in America, is that every police officer, for the most part, they serve in the communities or nearby communities where they live. They're members of the community. They also take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States, to uplift and enforce the constitutional protections for the citizenry. So when we think about, you know, everybody in America loves to focus on their rights. Well, we think of freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom to protest, all of these, freedom of assembly, all of these different freedoms. Those protections are enforced and maintained by our local police officers. They take an oath to serve and protect our communities, but to uphold the Constitution. So they are the protectors and enforcers, the front line, if you would, to maintain our constitutional freedoms. And it is so important that Americans realize that, know that, and appreciate it.
Coming to the end of our program, Dan, but let's give our actionable points. What can our listeners do to help this wonderful program called We Love Police?
Well, thank you, Donna. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and share this with your listeners. First and foremost, go to the website. Go to welovepolice.org. We're also on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter/X and other formats. Follow us, like us on social media. But they can also donate. We are a 501c3 organization. All contributions are tax deductible. They can purchase our merchandise. They can shop on our site and purchase our merchandise, hats, shirts, rear window stickers. And really our goal was, when we created this organization and even our logo, was to create a logo that was unifying. We wanted a unifying message. One, and I don't know who could disagree with that, that we love police. We want, every time someone has a rear window sticker or wears a civilian wearing clothing in public, and a police officer or a family member of a police officer sees someone wearing that, communicating, we love police, uplifting police and spotlighting their good, that sends a very significant message and really does uplift their spirits. Also, church partners. We want to grow church partners like wildfire. People can find out more about church partners, pass it on, share it with your pastor. And one of the beauties of this program, we have scaled it so that it is turnkey, is scaled for a church of 30 people or 30,000 people. It's very inexpensive. We provide everything, even from the call scripts. If someone says, I don't even know what to say to my police department when I call, we have call scripts. It's step-by-step, turnkey, and we provide all of the resources for a couple hundred dollars a year. We really want to have churches engaged and to stick with it, to be know, so that police officers across America know that their local church is a safe place that loves them, that appreciates them, and is there to support them whenever they need it. It just opens ministry doors. So promote church partners, join church partners, become church partners. And we set up the key person as a program coordinator. It doesn't have to be another task on a pastor's plate. It can be an elder, a deacon, a lay leader at the church, a parent of a police officer that has a heart for police, a retired police officer. It can be any of these different capacities. It can be a program coordinator, to be a liaison to the local police department from the church. Really, that's spread the word. Lastly, if someone knows a police officer, encourage them to, if they need a chaplain, which they all do, between just needing prayer or processing what they've dealt with on the job, they let them know that this access is out there for them, that they have access to 24/7 confidential chaplains whenever they need, on their own terms, right at their fingertips.
Thank you, Dan, so much for being a part of Mark and Friends and just showing us this new love on police officers, which is so needed.
It's my pleasure, Donna. Thank you again for the opportunity. I hope everyone goes to welovepolice.org and checks it out, and follow us, subscribe to our newsletter, support us, and spread the word to police officers and your churches, please.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Don't forget, you can hear this repeat broadcast anytime you want in an MP3 format on our website. We're Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.